ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 Sarasvatam Vyasam Tatojayam Udhirayat Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances under the personality of God and Narayan, Atanaya Narayan Rishi, Suposhu Mubin, Mother Sarasvati, the goddess of learning, and the Shura Vyasati of the author. Nasta Prayeshu Patreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhakti Bhavati Naistaki. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service under the personality of God, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. So we're reading from the fourth canto, chapter 28. Puranjana becomes a woman in the next life. Sounds pretty interesting. text number 15. Sitilavaya Horyahi Gandavya Rita Purushaha
Gandavya Purushaha
Yavaner Aribi Rajan Uparudo Rurodaha
Uparudo Rurodaha
Sitilava Yavo Yahi
Sitilava Yavo Yahi
Gandharvai Rita Purushaha
Gandharvai Rita Purushaha
Yamai Arbi Aribi Rajan
Yamanirani Rajan
Uparudo Rurodaha
Uparudo Rurodaha
Sitalava Yavo Rahi
Sitalava Yavo Rahi
Kandavai Abhita Purushaha
Kandavai Abhita Purushaha
Yavanai Aribi Rajan
Yavanai Rajan
Uparudo Rurudaha
Uparudo Rurudaha
Sitalavaya Bhoyahi
Sitalavaya Bhoyahi
Gandhavaya Hita Purushaha
Gandhavaya Hita Purushaha
Yavanai Aribi
Yavanai Aribi Rajan
Uparudho Rudha
Uparudho Rudha
Sitalavaya Horyahi
Sitalavaya Horyahi
Gandhavaya Hrita Purusha
Gandhavaya Hrita Purusha
Yavanai Aribi Rajan
Yavanai Aribi Rajan
Sita lava yavo yahi
Sita lava yavo yahi
Gandharva hirta purashaha
Gandharva hirta purashaha
Yavanir aribi rajam
Yavanir aribi rajam
Uparudo rurodaha
Uparudo rurodaha
Ladies?
Sitilavaya Bhoyahi
Sitilavaya Bhoyahi
Gandharva hita purushaha
Gandharva hita purushaha
Yavaner aribi rajan
Yavaner aribi rajan
Uparudo
rurodaha
Sitilavaya Bhoyahi
very much the Supreme Lord, and they can, you know, end this at the end of this life, no longer have to take another body. Like here, Puranjana became a woman in the next life. Generally a man is attached to a woman. Next life he takes birth as a woman. A woman is attached to a man, would take birth as a man. This is providing the man and the woman are actually following some Vedic principles. Today, they're not even going to be a man or a woman, they'll be an animal. You're lucky if you could be a man or a woman nowadays, you know, because of the way people are behaving, they're going to take animal bodies, they're not going to take human bodies. But usually, it's what you're attracted to, you get that body, because that's what man proposes, God disposes, that's what you want. That's what you'll get. But we don't want any material body. That's another thing with karma, good karma. So I do a lot of good things. It's like the day before yesterday at this Diwali program, there was this lady who, she's doing a lot of really good things by helping girls in Afghanistan get educated. Risking her life to do this. This is a really good thing to do. But it's not a spiritual thing to do. And there's karma involved. So now she's going to have to come back and get her good karma. She's going to get a lot of good karma for what she's doing. But we don't want any good karma or bad karma. We don't want any karma at all. You know, good karma or bad karma, it's all bad because you have to take another material body to get the result of it. So death is the final test that we have to take. We take so many tests. Even here as devotees, we take many tests. You know, getting up in the morning is a test. You know, Maya is going to start with don't get up. Or even if you get up, just stay in your room. You know, just Maya is not going to stop. So these are little tests. And most devotees can pass those. We've kind of gone, I gotta listen to my stupid mind about this. Oh, maybe I shouldn't go, you know, because my mind tells me not to go. Who cares what the mind says? I gotta go. So these are like little tests. But when you pass the little tests, it makes it easier. It's like these are quizzes. these are the quizzes we have. Then when we have the final exam at the time of death, and if you do good on your quizzes, you got a good chance of passing the final exam. If you don't do good on the quizzes, you know, you expect to get left back and start the fifth grade all over again, or whatever it is you're up to. So we have this opportunity, this rare human form, and we can prepare for death. And here, death is so difficult. You know, I'm sure everybody here has had some experience, like you think you can't breathe. It's like really scary. You know, when you can't breathe, that breath, that air is like such a nice thing. We take it for granted. But when it's not there, it's so bad. Like you can picture if you're drowning, it's so horrible. You know, that you can't breathe air. Instead, you breathe water, and that's you're finished, you know. And many people drown. People get suffocated. There's so many different things. That's just one way of dying. I mean, I could go through all the different ways of dying.
Please don't.
But the point is, it's not easy, no matter how you die. And people say, well, I like to die in my sleep, you know. I remember my sister, she says, I want to die in my sleep, and I just wake up dead. Very bright lady. Up dead. Hello. But you think dying in your sleep is nice, but it's not nice. The Yamadutas come. You're scared. You can't move. It's horrible. No matter, even in your sleep, you may not be physically so distressed, but mentally you certainly will be. It's a horrible thing, no matter how you die. And then you're probably not sleeping either. You know, I think you wake up. You wake up in time to die. So Srila Prabhupada has been really
so kind and considerate. Number one is he's following what his guru says. So you might say he's just doing his duty. But he wasn't just doing his duty. He was really concerned with all of these spirit souls. He didn't wasn't concerned with his reputation. He was concerned with the spirit souls. I'd like to give an example of a devotee went to Prabhupada and asked Prabhupada, can I get divorced and marry this other woman? And Prabhupada said, I'm not making it simple, but Prabhupada said yes. And then later on that day, Shruti Kirti asked Srila Prabhupada, why did you tell him that he can do that? He said, because if I didn't, he would do it anyway, and then it would be guru aparadha, you know, disobeying the orders of the guru, which is much greater than the... So he may look bad that he told his disciple, but he doesn't care what he does. He cares about his disciple not committing, not to go to hell, not to commit such horrible sins. Another time, the devotees who are sannyas want to get married. Prabhupada authorized, yes, you can get married. Because he sees them fall down. So, and there's another guru in the Gaudiya Math who had a sannyasi disciple, and he was married, and he took sannyasi, and then he went back with his wife. And he was saying, you should divorce your wife. Because he makes him look bad. You know, my disciple, who was a sannyasi, fell down. It's like Prabhupada didn't care about how he looked. He cared about the soul. So he really cared about us, and he cared about us to really help us. It says that the spiritual master is even kinder than Krishna. Krishna is so kind, he gives you anything and everything. But Prabhupada is so kind, he won't give you anything and everything. He only gives you Krishna. So this way, at the time of death, we'll be prepared. This whole life, we have how many years? 70, 80, 90 years. And it's meant to become Krishna conscious. And usually you start out young, and by the end of your life, you become more and more Krishna conscious. And then at the time of death, hopefully, you pass that final exam. You go back home, you graduate, you go back to Goloka Vrindavan with a whole new spiritual body. Wow, jumping. I can jump so high now. So this is what Prabhupada is giving us. No one else is giving this. No one else. People are telling you, you could be good and you could go to heaven. And that's true. You can go to heaven and enjoy like any. Christians, it's whole thing is enjoyment. It's not service. It's how I can enjoy. Sex gratification. The Muslims, the same thing. The Muslims, if they kill a bunch of people, they can get, like, how many wives can they get?
Virgins.
How many virgins? Anybody know?
I don't know, a big number.
So, what?
72? Oh, that's a lot.
72 virgins. Wow. What is that? What's it got to do with God? You know, it's like...
really going to entangle you.
You're going to entangle you for sure. You're guaranteed to take birth as a woman in your next life. But it's so stupid. What does that have to do with God? It's me enjoying sex life. That's what I'm going to have. I sacrifice now so I can enjoy sex life. It's like, you know, the hogs enjoy sex life. The donkeys enjoy sex life. You know, the frogs enjoy some kind of sex life.
Pigeons.
What? Pigeons. Pigeons, they're really into it. They perfected the art of... They can have sex like 300 times in a day. You know, they're really expert. You know, so what's the use? You know, of that? That's not. It's no better than an animal. And I think that's what I'm going to achieve. It's like stupid. Well, I bet you go back and you have a spiritual body and you serve God and you enjoy like anything because you love Him so much and you please Him. And when He's pleased, you're pleased. It's like if you have a child or if you have a wife or husband that you love so much. You don't really find that too much in the material world, but if you, in the beginning, you might. the mode of passion, happiness in the mode of passion, at first it's like nectar, then it turns into poison. But in the beginning, you want to please that person, you want to do everything for that person. Because you have this well, the closest thing we can come to love. But even for the children, that's more like real love. And it says the closest thing is the mother for the child. The father doesn't even care as much for the children. I mean, we care about our children, but if our children is right, forget it. I don't have anything to do with if they're rascals. The mother still loves them if they're rascal. The mother loves them if they do anything. Whatever, how bad they are, the mother still loves them. Father disowns them. I don't have anything to do with them. So our love is not as great as the love that a mother has for the child. So this love you have, you're willing to do anything to help that child. And you're pleased when that child is pleased. So the love for Krishna, it can't even compare to the love for a mother has for a child. It's so much greater. Unconditional love. So when all you want to do is please him. You don't want to do anything else, and you're totally satisfied. So that's the spiritual world. And you can go there and be eternally happy. No more coming back again if you pass that last test. So we're emphasizing something, important things you have to study for that test. You're not that body. You're a spirit soul. And everyone else is a spirit soul. It's not that, well, I'm not my body, but she looks really attractive and, she's her body. Or it's just, we're all spirit souls. We're all part and parcel of Krishna. We're all servants of Krishna. We see something attractive, we see an attractive woman, we should see how she's a servant of Krishna. She may be a gopi to give Krishna pleasure. So this is the illusion comes where we see it in relation to our own sense gratification. That's Maya. See it separate from Krishna. So we have to see everything in relationship with Krishna. So there's certain tests we have to pass. And at the time of death, it becomes very difficult to pass those tests because when you can't breathe and you're choked up and you're doing, whoa, whoa. What? They can't. It's like a time of death. It's like a pilot in a war where your plane is shot down. All the other planes, they can't do anything to help. They can just watch and you go falling down and hit the ground. So when you're surrounded by all your relatives, nobody can do anything for you. Just like the pilot who's crashing. They're just there and trying to, what do you want? Would you like this? Just get out of my life, will you? Just let me think of Krishna. Devotees can be surrounding and they can help. Because even if you can't chant because of this voice choked up, devotees can be chanting. You can hear the chanting. You can also think of Krishna. You can even chant in your mind. You may not be able to physically do it, but it takes practice. But if you're fortunate enough to be surrounded by devotees when you die, there's a really good chance you'll go back home, back to Godhead. So be nice to devotees so they're willing to be there when you're going to leave your body. Okay. In the Mukunda Mala Stotra, King Kulushekar states, Krishna Tradiya Pada Pankaja Panjarantam Advaiva Me Vishatumanasa Rajahamsa Prana Prayana Samaye Kalpavata Pitai Kantavaro Dhanavido Smaranam Kutaste. My dear Krishna, please help me die immediately so that the swan of my mind may be encircled by the stem of your lotus feet. Otherwise, at the time of my final breath, when my throat is choked up, how will it be possible for me to think of you? So that's the quote. So basically, let me die now while I'm good physical condition, because now I'm thinking of you. The time of death, it's going to be so hard to think of you. So now I'm thinking of you. Take me now, right now. Oh, no, not right now. Okay, now. that's about us, back and forth. So the swan takes great pleasure and diving within water and being encircled by the stem of the lotus flower. This entanglement is sporting joy. If, in our healthy condition, we think of the lotus feet of the Lord and die, it is most fortunate. In old age, at the time of death, the throat sometimes becomes choked with mucus or blocked by air. At such a time, the sound vibration of Hare Krishna, the Maha Mantra, may not come out. Thus, one may forget Krishna. Of course, those who are strong in Krishna consciousness cannot possibly forget Krishna at any stage because they are accustomed to chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, especially when there is a signal from death. So when you're going to die, you just stop everything else. You get some signal. Now it's it. Now's the time. You just stop everything else, all the other activities, and chant Hare Krishna. If you're fortunate enough to get the signal, but even if you're not, if you practice now, you become accustomed to chanting Hare Krishna, then it becomes easier to do at the time of death. I remember driving in a van, and we had a platform in the back where we would sleep on, made of wood. Underneath the platform were the books. We had books. No, this one we didn't have any. No, this particular van, we didn't have a platform. We just had boxes of books. And we had about 6 devotees in the van, big maxi van, you know, long van, not with the high tops they have nowadays. We just bent over. And we're driving in Minnesota, which is a pretty cold place in the wintertime. And then we hit a sheet of ice, and this one devotee who was driving is going like, he's going like this, it's getting wider and wider, and I'm trying to tell him, turn the wheel this way, turn, but he's doing it the opposite as I'm saying, because I'm saying it, and by the time he's doing it, it's already going the other way, he's supposed to turn the other way. Anyway, it makes things that I'm trying to take, and then this other devotee, who was in the passenger seat, he said, maybe we should chant Hare Krishna. And I thought, why didn't I think of that? So then we all chant Hare Krishna. This thing gets wider and wider, covering 2 lanes, going back and forth. Finally, we go off the side of the road, the ditch. There's a ditch. We roll over. We turn over. We're upside down. The van is upside down. The guy in the passenger seat, he's upside down because he has a seatbelt on, presses his button and falls down. And then we're all sitting on the books. The books, we were sitting on the books this way, it turned over and was still sitting on the books on top. I don't know, no idea. No one got hurt. It was like amazing. We're going, you know, we're going 50, 60 miles an hour on the highway. And nobody got to, all the windows broke out, you know, and we crawl out through the windows and all kinds of cars. So, you okay? Think so. But I can tell you, I didn't think of chanting Hare Krishna. That's when the devotee said it. I thought, why did I think of that? You know, that's what we're supposed to be practicing to do. So it's not necessarily always the easiest thing to do is to think of chanting Hare Krishna. But, you know, we have to practice more. We're fortunate that everyone in the van at the time, nobody left their body, and no one got hurt. Really amazing. But nobody got hurt. The van was totally destroyed. It would cost more to repair it than to buy a new one. So you would just get a new one. Insurance, they didn't fix it. This is pretty amazing that you don't always think of chanting Hare Krishna.
So the Prabhupada said that you can train a cow to chant. But as soon as you grab it by the throat, it forgets all about the chant and it says,
right.
So we got to be careful of that. At the time of distress, we forget about chant and we just go into this.
Well, I was trying to be practical and give some practical instruction, but it certainly wasn't working. The person wasn't used to driving on ice, I guess. You know, does everybody know what to do if you get hit a sheet of ice and you drive it?
Stop it, man.
You can't just put on the brake and fly all over the place.
Turn the opposite way of yours.
Yeah. You turn the way your back wheels are going. Yeah. If your back wheels are going that way, you turn that way. And when you're going the other way, you turn
that way. It's very hard to think straight when thinking.
I do that. I have done that. But I didn't think of Krishna. but I have driven where it's, I'm losing, and then I would do that. It was just, I don't know. Krishna helped me.
If you drive around a lot, you get some.
Yeah.
You get a little bit of.
You get to learn. And if you go into a parking lot when it's all ice and snow and with no cars, you want to spin around, it's fun to practice that. But anyway, the point is that we have to practice now, remembering Krishna, because every one of us is going to have that time of death coming, sooner or later. Usually death comes in old age, but Prahlad Maharaj said that, you know, even five-year-old boys, you're already old because you don't know when you're going to die. Old age means nearing death, and you don't know when you're going to die, so you may be old already. So now is the time to practice Krishna consciousness. The one nice thing about old age, from my own experience, actually when I was in Russia, just about a month or so ago, and I was with Naranjan Swami, and this one old lady, she asked, you know, something about, what do you do for old age? I don't know exactly what she asked, because she asked it in Russian, but Naranjan Swami said, couldn't you answer the question? She says, what do you do about old age? And I said, don't look in the mirror. That was my solution for old age. Because you don't look in the mirror, you don't know how. You still feel young, you still think young. You don't think I'm old now. You don't think that way. You still feel and think the same way. You may not feel the same way, but you certainly think the same way. You know, as you when you're younger. But when you look in the mirror, it's like, oh my God. But anyway, then I told them about old age. That was my first response. The Russians didn't have such a good sense of humor. The Russian Swami left.
In the middle of a war.
Yeah, in the middle of a war, that's right.
No, the Russians are. It's the Ukrainians are. That was good. I went to Ukraine after Russia. Russia says there's just a few people that are in a war, but very few. Anyway, so I told her that the nice thing about old age is, you know you're going to die soon, and you only have a few years to surrender to Krishna. Like when you're young, I have 60, 70 years. It's like, that's a long time. Now, what do I got? 5, 10 years. If I just give this to Krishna, I go back to God. What a cheap bargain this is. You know, it's like, what a bargain. I just give a few years, and I go back to God. Why would I not do it? You know, so that's the good thing about old age is, you see that I don't have that much time. I don't know when I'm going to die, but I know I'm not going to live more than 100, and I doubt whether I get out that far, you know. So maybe I have 90, maybe in the 80s somewhere. So now let me start. You know, that's the longest I'm going to go. I may die any second. There's this person in this last Sunday, this Sunday, they were sponsoring a feast. This friend of Russ, his friend, they came up, I met them, they've been to the temple. Anyway, they live in Florida. They came up for something, and the wife is 66 years old, and they're just visiting Connecticut, and she died of a heart attack. She had a problem breathing, she went to the hospital, and she's dead. 66 is, when you're a kid, 66 is like ancient. But when you're 66, it's not that old. So you don't know when you're going to die, you know. You don't know. But you do know you are going to die. And you do know that if I practice Krishna consciousness, there's a chance I can remember Krishna. I talked to, in Ukraine, I kind of discouraged a bunch of devotees by telling them what Prabhupada said about something to do with how we have to be. You know, we have to fully, if you have any desire whatsoever, I'm trying to think what quote I quoted. I know I quoted one quote that even if you want a sweet ball, you have to come back to get a sweet ball. You know, if you have any material desire whatsoever, you have to come back. But I said something, a quote, that Prabhupada said, and the devotees kind of got discouraged. It's like it's useless, it's hopeless. How am I going to be that Krishna conscious? But on the other hand, so then when I found out the devotees were thinking that, I told them that. You know, Prabhupada stressed the highest standard, always the highest. But he also, you know, accepted people that weren't on that platform. He knows that we're not that advanced. So we shoot for the, you know, for the rhinoceros. We go for the highest thing you could possibly hunt. You know, we go for the trying to be fully Krishna conscious. But he also said that Lord Chaitanya may come at the time of death and help you to remember him. So obviously, if Lord Chaitanya comes, you know, not going to have a problem remembering him. You know, everything else is meaningless. So you get some special mercy. And anyway, one devotee told me, not a devotee anymore, so, but he told me that he was a big devotee in ISKCON at one time, that he was on a walk with Srila Prabhupada and devotees were asking about what do you have to do to, you know, go back to Godhead, and Prabhupada was answering different things, and he said he was thinking that I thought all you have to do is go to the morning program, not be late, go to the morning program, chant your rounds, you know, do some service, follow the regulative principles, and at the end of your life you go back to Godhead. And he said, Prabhupada turned to him and said, yes, that is right. So we just have to follow this program he's given us. Like you were saying earlier, he's given us this program. Shouldn't change it. You can make some adjustments. I mean, you could definitely make some adjustments. You know, like one day you can't have a 3-hour kirtan, although for this temple, as I said, I didn't think it was a good idea. And the reason I don't think a 3-hour kirtan on Sunday is a good idea is because we get a lot of new Westerners that come and they don't know what's going on and nobody tells them anything. So if you have a class, they learn a little bit. They can, and today, not today, tomorrow, we should be getting a group from Harvard University. So if you're giving class, try to be intellectual tomorrow. You can explain simple, but there's a group of, and that's why I'm thinking we have to have a class tomorrow, especially. They want to, and they specifically asked. They actually wrote to me and said, it says you have a 3-hour kirtan. What does that mean? There's no lecture? They asked. So I said, if there is a 3-hour kirtan, we can have, you know, your group, because it's a group coming, plus anyone else who would like to have, we can go to a different room and we'll have a lecture. So make sure that's done if there is a 3-hour kirtan, that those Harvard students can get a lecture, because that's what they're coming for. That's the main thing they're coming for. So that's why I don't think the 3-hour kirtan, I think 3-hour kirtan, 6-hour kirtan, do it on a Saturday. You know, don't do it for the Sunday program. Sunday program you should have a lecture, and especially in Boston. It's, if you're having all Indian people come, and or hardly any Westerners ever come, then you could do that. But otherwise, I don't know. It's certainly not Prabhupada's program. I mean, to have an exception once in a while, it'd be okay, but it's, you know, we really need to try to make devotees, try to explain Krishna consciousness to people. And someone coming in for the kirtan might look nice, sound nice, but it may not, you know, help them to accept this. This is what I want to do for the rest of my life. Okay, oh, I went way over. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.